In recent times, everyone has been getting their renewal notices for their personal insurances, such as income protection and life insurances, and they've usually been subject to a decent rise in the cost of premiums. Most people don't like paying for insurances, but understand the importance of it. However, no one likes to receive a letter stating a decent increase in the cost of that insurance. So in today's episode, we're going to run through some of the things you can do to curb the cost of your insurance premiums.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here, and I'm joined today, 1 hour, by Zach Masters from Picada. Zach, how are you doing?
Hey, Pete. Pretty good. How are you going in lockdown? You got the kids at the moment. How's that?
Oh, pretty good. I'm seeing the bright side of life. You know, very fun, very cute Zoom calls with the kids and their childcare buddies. So that was pretty, warms the cockles of the heart. So in between that and sort of, my insomnia or the kids waking up at 3 a.m. actually coincides with the first basketball game every morning. I don't know. Life's pretty good for me. How about you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I think I'm getting a little bit more sleep than you are at the moment. But how are you finding the NBA games in the bubble? Are you enjoying how it looks? Or
any distraction from the pitiful AFL season for the both of us is very much welcome.
Well,
interesting to see. Like, what, both of the number one seeds knocked off, so only the second time that's ever happened. So, yeah, keen to see how they bounce back throughout, it's a best of seven series, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah,
I reckon the Lakers are in a bit of trouble against Portland, LeBron.
Yeah, and I know this is not a visual medium, Zach, but I hear rumors you've shaved the noggin, so
the head's been shaved. So I had it was getting so long on the sides and different things like that. And being in Victoria, I'm not sure when potentially I'm allowed to go out and see a hairdresser or a maid or someone that's capable of giving it a decent cut. So I thought I'll shave it off, and probably by the time we're out of this, it'll have grown back. Hopefully, importance on hopefully is there as well there. So
looks good. The feedback's been overwhelmingly good, sort of from the socials, from what I can gather. So but we're not here to talk about your hairdo or NBA playoffs. What we want to talk about today is rising insurance premiums, and this is like I got my sort of annual increase recently as well, so this is it's a thorn in the side. So recently I think most people who have been getting their renewal notices for personal insurances, this is everything from life insurance, TPD, trauma, income protection, and even the stuff that's coming out of super, it's been significantly higher than usual percentage increases in terms of the cost of their premiums.
Yeah.
And I think more people are watching their budgets at the moment as well. So I think because you're home, you've probably got more sort of idle time in front of your screen, or sort of hopefully people are sitting there, we've inspired them to do a budget. So this is one that's coming in. So sort of getting a lot of clients sort of coming and going, hey, look, is there other options? Can I review it? What do I do? This seems ridiculous. Is it right? I think it's worth having a chat about, because how can we curb this, or how can we manage it? I don't think we can stop it unless you're happy to fund all these insurance premiums from your bank account, Zach. But I don't know how deep the pockets are, because I hear
deep.
Insurance industry is in some form of distress at some level as well.
Yeah, so I think the big reason is to talk about like why it's happening, and I think one of the things too to touch on is that even people that have had level premiums, which means usually you're trying to lock in a cover that's slightly more expensive at the start but doesn't rise as much. Like, insurers are doing like repricing of their books as well.
Yeah, I'm on level, and my increase was well into the double digits. That stings, because you feel like you've done everything right to try and plan ahead, and then you go, well, hang on, we've repriced our book of life insurance policies. So it's still better than had it been stepped. Granted, yes, doesn't feel good though.
Yeah, and I think
so. Is there a reason for that, or what's happening there?
Well, yeah, what's happening at the moment, like largely with insurers, is they're becoming less and less profitable. In most cases, they're quite unprofitable at the moment. This is brought on largely due to two main reasons that claims are becoming higher. So particularly one big area of claims that's had huge amounts of growth over the past few years is mental health.
I can't imagine that's going to decrease in the current near future either.
Yeah, I can't see it decreasing either. So that's the worry, is that more and more people are claiming for mental health, whereas I'm not sure the awareness is out there a lot more nowadays, and more people are going to see their GPs and things like that about it, and therefore
being which is great. Yeah, which and a big shout out to Beyond Blue, like, you know, and other organisations supporting mental health, because it's very much important and underfunded. But yeah, it's absolutely placing pressure on insurers.
Yeah. 100%. So this is like, obviously they didn't price the risk correctly back at the start, and then what's happening as well is you've got lower growth rates as well. So the way that insurance make money is that they're taking those premiums and they're investing them. So you've got lower growth plus more people claiming is making the insurers largely unprofitable. And then as we're seeing now is that they're having to reprice books just to kind of stay alive and stay afloat and increase premiums. And then they're also having to look at different things, like now there's no more agreed value on income protection. Like, I know some insurers are taking off level premiums from income protection as well. So all these
things are changing. They're removing a lot of the ancillary benefits, aren't they? Like, because I think what used to happen was there was this drive to add more features, because then you showed up at the top of all your good financial advisors' risk research tools.
Yeah.
You know, the more bells and whistles, the more features you had, the better your definition was. There was this race, like an arms race, to have the best policy possible. And then that means you have a higher incidence of claim because you've got more sort of parts of the policy that can be claimed on.
Yeah.
Therefore, profit margins get squeezed. And it was a competitive market as well. There's been a lot of consolidation in the industry. So, you know, most people out there, if they've had their cover for several years, have probably noticed, you know, they've got a cover letter from their insurer saying, I've been bought out by such and such company and bought out by someone else, and the logo may have changed in the corner of the policy. Mm. A lot of things. We're not here to sort of cry for the insurers. We do care about them, but obviously we're here to talk about the consumer and individuals. What would be the first suggestion you'd say to someone who's just gotten their renewal, or perhaps they haven't got theirs yet, but they now are going to be thinking and dreading it coming? What's the first thing you'd do to help them sort of manage the cost of their insurance?
Yeah, so the easiest one, the most obvious one, is you reduce your levels of cover, so your amount of cover that you have. So that's like the easiest way to cut costs is obviously the lower amounts of cover that you have.
But should you always just cut costs blindly, or is like, you know, because I feel I come from the point of view of going, hey, why'd you pick that amount of cover at the start? So
yeah, and you've got to look at like what was the cover for at the start. So like the common one is like if you haven't reviewed your cover in a few years and you haven't had any children or taken on any new debt, like the likelihood is you potentially could reduce your cover because you may have lower levels of debt than what you initially started with. If you had children, they might be older, so therefore ongoing education expenses and different things like that become lower as well. So like it's something you should definitely be looking at, but it's not just a straight away, like you've got to weigh up, as is always the case with insurance, is that like there's the perfect amount of insurance you should have, but then you've got to pay for it. So you've got to judge like how much am I, like what's a comfortable amount that I can, that passes the sleep test, is one you often refer to. But
love the sleep test. Yeah. You want to be feeling comfortable about it, because you whatever money you're forking out for this insurance policy, you're not going to enjoy it. Yeah, it doesn't matter what insurance you have. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if it's car insurance, house insurance, professional indemnity, whatever insurance you have. Hopefully your yacht insurance, or, you know, these are things you have just in case something goes wrong. So it's not a diabolical outcome. So you want to make sure you've thought about what you've got. And I don't know about frequency. I know with your clients, you're generally suggesting at least an annual review. And I think that's good from it's easy to remember because you go, oh, annual, like an annual health check, or sort of making sure you go to the dentist. You know, I get my letter in the mail. It's reminding me about my cover. Oh, great. Pick up the phone, call my advisor, or call my insurance broker or whoever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's probably not a bad way to sort of have a look at sort of, number one, review your level of cover and make sure it's appropriate, and reduce it if it is, because you're right. Like, even the most perfectly written insurance policy, a year later is going to be not relevant, not sort of perfect anymore, because something's happened. Either your net asset position's gone up, down, generally hasn't stayed exactly the same. Your earnings capacity, you one year older, so closer to retirement, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, good one. Very nice. All right, number two, we got anything else? What have you got in your tool bag? And the reason I'm not giving these tips, by the way, is this is definitely not my area of expertise at all. So I'm happy to pass the baton over to you, Zach. So what would you say is second best tip for people out there?
Yeah, so the next one is to look at other options. So like anything, so like we say, when if you've got a mortgage or you've got investments and things like that, you should always be reviewing and looking at what other options are available out there too, to make sure that you're always in the best option. Now, this one gets a little bit more complicated, because as I mentioned now, like, the difference in products of what you might have got 2 or 3 years ago is going to be far, potentially far greater than what you can now apply for. So you've got to be careful that when you're looking to review or go see what other insurers are available for you, that you're still getting a like-for-like cover. Because the likelihood is now with income protection and different things, if you got your income protection written over, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, it's going to be a lot better than what you can potentially get now. So it's not going to be a proper like-for-like scenario. So it's always important that when you're looking at other options that you're not losing any benefits that you might need or should need in the future. Like, the big one is that guaranteed value on income protection.
Definitely.
That's where you would go see
a financial advisor or an insurance broker.
Yeah, for this,
or an expert to get this, because you want to be making sure you. You know, it's that old sort of saying of, you know, you measure twice, cut once. You don't want to sort of jump the gun, you know, transfer to a policy that's inappropriate or sort of lacking the features you actually need. You go to claim, you would have been eligible under your old policy, not eligible under the new one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's. I couldn't think of a worse feeling. I could actually, but it'd be right up there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it, like, these with these type, if you're ever looking to replace your cover or change it, like, you should just go to see an advisor or, as you said, an insurance broker, because they'll be able to look at it and weigh up the pros and cons. Like, you can do it as well, but there might be some things that you're not aware of necessarily when you're looking at it. And then, like, but there is, like, with the lump sum covers, there hasn't been too much change over the recent years. So you should always be looking and reviewing your cover and going, all right, is, say I had my insurances with OnePath, is that still the best option for me? Or does TAL, AIA, Zurich, does someone else have, has they changed their pricing so it's better for me? They got better features for the same price. All that type of stuff is that what you should be looking for and going, all right, am I still in the best cover? So, because like anything that we talk about, you should be constantly reviewing and looking at your options to make sure you're never stuck in something that's too expensive or not right for you.
Yeah, and if you're going to do it yourself, like, get out the PDSs, make sure you call up as well. So if you've got an older policy, like what we call legacy policy,
you might
not be insured under the current PDS either. It might be a different product. So,
yeah,
you know, call up the insurer. When you pick up the phone, jot down the time, who you've spoken to, make sure you keep sort of your records. Request a PDS that's relevant to your policy. And read it in detail. Like, read, like, what are you covered for? And compare that to the other options out there before you make a decision. So, and make sure you go, am I guaranteed, sort of, do I get guaranteed upgrades in my policy? All those sort of nuances are listed in the PDS. That's what those beautiful glossy, or they used to be brochures, now they're just PDS, that's what they're there for. So make sure you're sort of having a look, and never, ever, ever cancel your existing policy before you're actually got your certificate of currency and you've got a paid up accepted policy that is suitable and correct.
And in force.
And in force, yeah. Well, you're not going to have the certificate of currency if it's not in force.
Just double check, right. Double check.
All right. Jeez. You can see who's driving the ship here. All right. What else you got in that sort of... Is there anything else on the sort of the checklist that people should be having a look at if they want to start managing the cost of their insurance?
Yeah, so if it is getting, say you're with an insurer that is the best for you, your level of cover in terms of your dollar amount is still right, but you still need to try and cut costs somewhere because it's becoming unmanageable, then you should be looking at what extra options you have with your cover. So again, like with income protection, trauma, you have standard or comprehensive cover. So looking at that and going, all right, do I need these added bells and whistles? Because for some of them, there's like accommodation benefit for a spouse to then come and stay somewhere near you if you're far away from a hospital or something like that. There's
really... Are you saying you might not want them there?
Well, what if you're single potentially and you go, that's not going to be needed or something like that? You've got to review these.
Got to hold out some hope there. Exactly.
Yeah, plan for the future, but you might go that, it's maybe not worth me paying the extra amount that I'm paying for these types of benefits. Like, they're nice to haves. You've got to think about what's the real reason why you've got this cover. And for most of the time, if it's like an income protection, it's there to replace your income. If it's a trauma or something, it's there to cover your medical costs and potentially some home loans and things like that. So whilst the rehab benefits and all that type of stuff might be nice and good if you were to go through something like that, it's not the core reason why you have the policy.
Save the money, put it towards buying some extra super likes, and you know, your situation might change. Who knows? Now, in terms of, are there tricks and tips for like people working out what their options are? Like, how do you know? You're saying, like, there's all these, you know, there might be bells and whistles. How do you know? Can you tell that by looking at the annual statement that you get in the mail?
No, so it's like you'd have to look at your annual statement to see what your policy is.
Okay.
If you're with a, you got your insurance through an advisor, like, you just message them and or insurance broker, just message them to see, you know, like, what types of extra bells and whistles do I have on my cover? But usually you go through the PDS. So the PDS will outline all the different levels of cover and all the different benefits associated with what cover you have. And usually they have like a pretty easy, like, checklist style thing, which will have like standard, comprehensive, and have little like tick boxes as to what is included in each. So that's a good way to look at it.
So not too dissimilar to private health insurance. A lot of people out there have private health insurance.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't want to be paying for pregnancy if you're not planning to have children and you're sort of past your childbearing years.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. You got to look and make sure, like, do I think I'm going to need this, or is this going to be of value to me? If it's not, then potentially look at reviewing that.
Yeah. Very good. Anything else? So is there anything else that we need to be thinking about when it comes to insurance premiums, or like, are you happy for people to perhaps reach out to you if they want to have a chat or they're a little bit unsure?
Yeah, reach out. Always reach out if you've got any questions, or even if you want an insurance review done. Like, as you mentioned, we've got some software kind at the start. So we've got software we can put in your amounts of cover, age, occupation, and it pretty quickly shows what that amount of cover looks like cost-wise with other insurers. The other thing I mentioned too, if you have been with an insurer for quite a while, like, give them a call and see, is there like a, you know, can you get a percentage off for being a long-term client? Like, a lot of the time, especially at the moment, they're not wanting to lose business.
Yeah, so you're not suggesting threaten them, are you?
No, but like a retention discount or something like that is sometimes...
maybe just ask them, you're shopping around, is this the best deal you can do?
Yeah. It's like an call. Yeah. You want to cancel Foxtel, suddenly you get the cheapest Foxtel deal.
I find that inconscionable.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't have Foxtel anymore.
But that's the way that a few businesses operate. So it doesn't hurt to call them up. Similar to like when, you know, you've got a mortgage and you're looking to move somewhere else, suddenly your bank's going to offer you a rate that you weren't able to get before that a lot of the time. So it's worthwhile making a call if you are finding that you're with an insurer that potentially is the best option for you already. Yeah. That can be an option too, to get a little bit off.
Very good. Well, like, I think they're all great. Look, and I think they're very easily actionable as well. Like, it's not something big. I think this should be just a regular part of your financial plan maintenance. You know, insurances are not set and forget, nor is any financial plan. So you change, your life changes. And it's not always for, like, don't always fear it as it's going to make things more expensive. It might actually save you money. So I think you should be the annual checkup. I like that tip. I think that's a good thing for people to work towards. And just make sure you've got, you know, the right amount of cover, you know, the best sort of most appropriate one in terms of value for money. Make sure your policy definitions are fit for purpose.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling like you're a little bit uncertain, you're sort of swimming in those PDSs and pulling your hair out a bit, which Zach won't be because he shaved his head, but give Zach a call or send you an email. So probably the best way to contact you would be Zach, Zac, at Picada, pekada.com.au. But we might wrap things up there. And are you happy to take a mail? Well, yeah, the mailbag question is an insurance one today. So yeah. I feel like it's insurance just, episode. It's very big. All right. So who have we got here? I've got a question from Jack. All right. Hey, guys. Big fan.
Thank you.
Now, that is good. Doesn't say who. Like, I'd prefer a bit of a shout out to individuals on the show, preferably who's not pulling their weight. All right. I feel like I'm currently overinsured, which is sort of the inspiration for today's podcast.
Yeah.
However, I locked in level premiums about 5 years ago. I feel like I might need more cover in the future if I was to have more children and potentially purchase a bigger property. Should I reduce my cover now and then increase it later, or should I leave it as it is? Thanks.
Thanks, Jack, for the question. So this one's quite complex in a few ways. So obviously...
We need to coach people on giving easier questions.
As always, it depends. But what you'd be looking at with something like this is going, all right, if I am planning to have kids or purchase a bigger property, how soon in the near future is that going to be? Because if you've written level premium 5 years ago, the likelihood now is that the rates are going to be much, much higher in terms of getting new insurance. So you say if you were to lower your insurance now, and then in 2 years' time you have another child and potentially buy a bigger house, and now you need to up your insurance back, the premiums you saved over those 2 years may not be worth it for what you would now be paying in extra premiums for the rest of your insurable life. So you can get quotes done that kind of map out the future, but as we've seen at the moment, those aren't necessarily going to be 100% accurate. So I think that's what you've got to weigh up, is whether or not the years where you'll be saving premiums is going to be worth it for the long term. So parts of me would lean towards going, you know, maybe looking to hold on to that cover until you 100% know what's happening, because it's always easy to reduce cover in the future. It's sometimes can be harder to get cover.
It's very hard to get cover, and I can't believe we didn't sort of cover that off about just the warning of when you go applying for cover at the moment. Are you absolutely getting grilled on the way in terms of very, very strict underwriting policies at the moment?
Yeah, we're seeing, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing more and more declines come through for things that in the past probably would have been accepted. So it is a lot harder to get most policies.
I'm getting some form of exclusion or amended terms, if not declined. Yeah. So, and that may be something said about the, I don't know, just the honestness of our clients. So we're very, very, that's good. That's, you know, we want people to sort of be forthright. One of the things just before we wrap things up, what I realized is I didn't mention, you know, when you are looking to move your cover around, look at your after-tax cost of the cover. So, you know, if you are shopping around, maybe you could rejig your cover so, you know, you can have less out-of-pocket expense. So some of it may be out of funded through super. And I know this is sort of, you know, after I've been very, very negative on the accessing super early policy. But I think this is a much more useful reason to access your super.
Yeah.
But yeah, that might be a way to do it as well, because it means that you get through these, you know, years where you go, oh, look, the increase is sort of weighing on me, but I still need the cover. That might be a sort of a way to sort of meet in the middle. And do remember, like, income protection generally tax deductible. So, you know, make sure you're sort of getting your tax return done quickly, getting your claim back, and yeah, all those sort of things, I think would be a little bonus tip.
In terms of superannuation
and tax deductibility.
Yeah, you need to look at the after-tax premium, because that's essentially what you're paying, really, at the end of the day, once you've got your tax back. So it's, especially when you're reviewing it with other levels of cover and going, oh, but I pay this much for my income protection and life insurance and so on.
Mm.
It's starting to feel like it's a lot. Well, the income protection for some people can be nearly halved, you know, or at least, you know, a third to a half taken back once you get that tax deduction.
Yeah, and I know, look, actually, another bonus tip. Some of the insurers are now offering health discounts as well, depending on if you're happy to go through some stringent criteria. And,
yeah, healthy BMI and things like that.
There's
different things out there. Health Sensitel and AIA's got Vitality. And
I think they're a bit gimmicky at the moment, but I think it could be the future, like, in terms of if you're prepared to hand over a bit of your data and privacy and all those sort of things. Yeah, there might be some benefits there. It's worth having a look at anyway as part of your due diligence. So
definitely.
But we could go on and on talking about insurance. It is a fascinating subject. And look, it's a part of every financial plan. In most cases, until you get to retirement. So yeah, we'll really appreciate your insights today, Zach. If Thank anyone's you. Got any feedback for the show, if you've enjoyed it, get the message out there. I know like the listeners are on the rise, which is really nice to see. We like an upward sloping graph that's sort of exponentially going up. Unlike the, we want the inverse of what's happening with COVID. COVID down, podcast listeners up. So get the message out there. Send any sort of episode suggestions or any mailbag questions you might have to connect@picada.com.au. And we'll leave it there and see you all again next week.
Cheers.